What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo and welcome to your preview of Everton versus Chelsea, the game at Goodison Park this weekend, which I'm sure we're all really looking forward to. I say that with sarcasm because Chelsea's recent run of form against Everton at Goodison, to say the least, has been distinctly average. Obviously, me and Tom are back to give this preview. As you said, this is always pre-recorded, and Tobes is currently still in Manchester. It's going to be interesting. It's another shocking voyage up north, and we'll have to see what happens. Permanent PTSD, and we have to remain positive, though. I'll try my best, okay? That's all I can say. But is it just me, or is this probably one of the worst fixtures that we can do, or even better, have you got any? Let's start this again. Instead of going in negative, I'm going to try and be positive. And obviously, we have some statistics here, which young Tomas is always very, very keen on as our resident stat shagger. So, can you shag some stats, please, mate?
So Everton, I will do my usual statistic spiel. We've played them 100 and no. So we mentioned earlier how this is the worst fixture. I mean, statistically, long term, it isn't. We played them 190 times. We've won 75 of them, drawn 56, lost 59. But more recently, our 1-0 win there last season in August, if you remember, before the ability to win was taken from us, sadly, we won 1-0 there. Well, there you go. First win there. That was, though, our first win there since April 2017. When Pedro scored his worldie and Louis was in attendance, smiling away with his laugh that they could hear from Anfield. Since then, we have drawn 0-0, lost 2-0, lost 3-1, lost 1-0, lost 1-0, and then last year's 1-0 win. So, in conclusion, it is horrible. I do hate playing there. I hate that stadium, and I don't like playing them, let alone now that they have Sean Dyche, and it's going to be even worse. They are now also, to add further complications for Chelsea, they are now fighting for their lives after their 10-point deduction, as shown by their 1-0 win recently at Forest. They're currently playing Newcastle as we speak, and it is half-time, and it is 0-0. Let us remember how we fared against Newcastle not that long ago. They are 18th in the table, obviously having lost 10 points, but they are already only 2 points below safety, and so I think they will realistically probably stay up and actually probably do it quite comfortably. They have as many wins as us, 5. They've conceded fewer goals than us, 20 from them, 24 from us. Only Sheffield United have scored fewer goals than their 15. So if you're looking for a classic, I recommend you don't head to Goodison Park unless you're an Everton fan and you are really buzzing for another 1-0 win. And that is the end of the statistical section of Chelsea's visit to Goodison Park in December of 2023. We'll see you next week for more action.
Like a really, really awful version of Radio 4.
I'm actually going to take that as a compliment, because I sound vaguely professional. So, yeah.
Oh, dear Lord. I'm kind of sounding all right. Come on. Yeah, no, it was interesting, to say the least. I think those numbers are something which I very much am nervous about now. I'm surprised you hate Goodison. I think it's I love it. It's one of the last proper stadiums in the league. I think, you know, you've got them, you've got Burnley, and that's it, really. I mean, I've not been to Sheffield United. That is one I'd like to go to. Obviously, Molineux, as we all know, I've managed a side which won there. So, you know, with that being said, you know, I think it's going to be quite sad when Everton leave Goodison.
Yeah, I won't miss it.
Have you ever been?
No, but just from going there, I hate that stadium. Even hearing that name kind of gives me shivers. If I hear Goodison Park December, it just brings back memories of watching us going in as a good team, thinking we're here in the mix for a few years ago for the title, thinking how well we've played. And then we go there and a Calvert-Lewin header in the 37th minute, and we then can't break them down. We lose 1-0, and then we go to Wolves 2 weeks later and we lose there as well, and our whole dream of winning the Premier League is on. And that... Well, I mean, that's happened more than once. As you've heard from the stats there, we've lost 4 of our last 6 games at Goodison Park, 3 of which without scoring. So I don't like that stadium. I don't have a particularly fond feeling towards Everton fans. I'm sure they're lovely people, but I don't like Everton beating us. It annoys me. And one of my uni housemates is an Everton fan. That was always annoying because it was sort of always just before you go back for Christmas. It was one of the last weekends, so you'd be probably down the pub, quite happy, watching Chelsea, and then we'd lose to Everton, and he'd have a great night, and I'd be annoyed. And that stuck with me. So, no, I won't miss Goodison Park. Might be a lovely stadium. Sure it is. But I'm glad I won't have to hear it again for a while. Hopefully, eventually, in the not-too-distant future.
Well, I'll be gutted. That's all I can say there. But, you know, where are our heads at in this situation, heading into this game? Obviously, after United, I think it's fair to say that we're not in the strongest of spirits. What is going through your head, and what do we need to do to get a win here?
The only way is up, right? Let's be positive. Well, we need to be a lot more solid. We need to be a lot more coherent. The team need to get on the training field and learn each other's names. That would be a good start. As we've alluded to, and from both previous results and from the way Everton are currently playing, and the fact that their manager is Sean Dyche, if it wasn't plainly obvious from there, they're going to be solid. They're going to be hard to break down, and they are going to be looking for set pieces. They have a pretty good set piece taker in Dwight McNeil. They have Dominic Calvert-Lewin back fit, who, as we've seen from previous years, is pretty good in that area of the field. They have a pretty good defence and a pretty old-headed, intelligent defence with people like James Tarkowski in the middle of it. They have a pretty good goalkeeper, and they have a big midfield. These are all things that we have struggled with so far this season, and I am very worried that we are once again going to struggle. I'm not going into this feeling particularly positive, to be completely honest. And that is, again, quite worrying, because we should be going into Everton away thinking, yep, 3 points, we have to get 3 points. We should be expecting 3 points. I'm not expecting 3 points.
Well, let's build our 11. Let's try and get those 3 points. Who's going in goal?
Robert Sanchez, and with a bit of credit to his name this time.
Exactly. Bob the keeper. Can he save it? Bob the keeper. Yes, he can. Sometimes. So, you know, he's more times than not saving it. So he's in. Back four, what are we doing? I'm going to say straight away, Levi Colwill is not playing left back. I will veto that decision straight away.
Estoy de acuerdo contigo. Mark Cucurella, my long-haired friend, can return to left back from his ventures on the right-hand side, and he can try and sort that side of the field. I would probably play Colwill at left centre back, although I do wonder if maybe Badiashile would be better. I'm dropping De Sassi. I have to say I've not been that impressed with him recently. I don't know if I'm being harsh. I'm just saying how I feel. Silva plays, obviously, and Reece James has to start. I don't know how you feel about that defence.
Does he?
Well, who else are you playing at right back? That's the problem.
Is Malo Gusta going to be back and available, do you think? Or do you think it's...
Don't think so. I've not heard any positives on that anyway.
Okay, well, let's stick with Reece then. I mean, personally, I think after that United game, showed a player that's a shell of their former selves. And I think he needs a bit of love and a bit of confidence boosting. If Malo Gusta was available, I'd actually start Malo Gusta. I know that sounds insane, but... You know, I don't think that Reece has done enough over the past few games to warrant walking straight back into that team. Going forward, obviously, he was pretty decent. You know, he put the ball in the right place against United, but defensively, he was woeful. And we talk about him being one of the best all-round players and has the full capability. But whether or not the right-hand side might be for him anymore, I think that might be a question worth asking. Maybe his body can't do it. But that's another conversation we'll save when Tobes back, because I'm sure he'll have some thoughts on that. But okay, backline, we'll stick Reece James in right now. So you've got Robert Sanchez, Mark Correa, you've then got Reece James right back, and the two centre halves. I'd personally go Benoit Badiashile, purely because of the physicality you were mentioning, and I think Levi really struggled with that against United. So I'd go Benoit Badiashile and Thiago Silva. Personally, I'd drop Levi Colwill. Midfield, I guess it will be Well, Conor Gallagher will be back available, won't he? He's had his one game suspension.
Yep.
So
yep.
I'd go back to that midfield. I'd go Conor, Enzo, Caicedo. And I think that game, as much as Cole Palmer had his fantastic run, I do think he needs to be a player who's maybe out on the right-hand side and has the freedom still he wants. I think the middle of the park, it showed how much we miss Conor Gallagher. You know, he's not an elite player, but he's someone who is so important to just getting that side ticking. And there are so many players out there in world football that are like that. And I think Conor Gallagher is a prime example of that, personally.
Yeah, no, I agree. The only problem with that midfield is it's quite a small midfield. Everton have a big team. I just question. I mean, you can't just play them at their game. We've got to play our own game as well. But that does slightly worry me. But then we can amend that going forward in the front three. There is someone that I do want to see starting.
Yes, I think we can both agree that. Should we just go straight to that name straight away? Centre forward Armando Broia?
Armando Broia, yes. I'd like to see him start through the middle. I would be dropping Mudryk. I thought he was terrible against Manchester United, to be completely honest. So I would then put Sterling back to the left, where I think he's more effective anyway, and put Cole Palmer on the right. I didn't think Palmer had a very good game, really, apart from his goal. But he's obviously, at the moment, been our most consistent attacking player, and obviously warrants a start, and scored a good goal anyway. So, yeah, Palmer on the right, Broia through the middle. I think he'll actually be a problem for that defence to deal with. He's a big bloke. I've said before and got ridiculed for it, in terms of his physique, he is similar-ish to Haaland. And I think he's difficult to defend against because he's fairly quick, he's pretty good with both feet, and he's big. And then, yeah, Sterling. So, yeah, that's what I'd have. And I think that's a team that can cause Everton problems. But I do worry about the size of the midfield. Hopefully the energy of Gallagher can kind of get around that.
Yeah, I think that's the only way that can be done. I can't see, like, Leslie Kutrika won't be available irrespective. I wouldn't start him. I think he's a walking accident sometimes. You know, that he's too rash. I appreciate someone getting stuck in, but I think, you know, Conor showed signs of the old Conor Gallagher where he can get over exuberant. And I think Leslie Ugochukwu is the same. He puts himself about, but he does it too much. So for me personally, yeah. I wouldn't put him in the starting 11.
The player who I am eager to see return quicker than perhaps they are going to is Romeo Lavia. I want him in the team soon. And I'm not sure who he's coming in for, by the way. But I want him fit, because I think he might actually be a bit of a secret weapon.
He will be, but he's a young lad and there's a lot of pressure on him now.
Is there? Or has the pressure kind of been taken off because he hasn't played at all?
No, the pressure's going to be there because he's a £60 million signing and he's 19 years of age. That he's playing for Chelsea Football Club. It's the same reason Mudryk's not been as successful. Mudryk is a player who should be bedded in slowly, given a few games here and there, but because of his price tag, because of the club he's at, because of everything that happened when we signed him, that's a player who has been absolutely devoid of confidence. You know, Romeo Lavia is going to be in the same situation. It's the same. No, I said it in the United United review. Sorry, this is the issue with Chelsea right now. A lot of young players and not a lot of guidance. You can't pin that all on Thiago Silva and Mauricio Pochettino. There's a lot of young players there. So, you know, that's something which has got to be reviewed. But Romeo Lavia is a very, very young lad who I think was a shining star in a rather shite Southampton side. But, you know, I do think he needs to have the time to bed in. But again, that's another conversation for another day. But that's the Chelsea Echo 11. We'll move swiftly on, though, into Act 3, as Tom likes to call it now. And I do like this new Acts model. Thomas, who are the key players and what are going to be the key battles?
I actually think for us, I think Broia can be really important in this game, on both sides of the ball. I think set pieces in a game like this are quite important, and having a really big striker who is not afraid to get stuck in, I think, is really important from a defensive perspective and also from an offensive perspective, because he can, like, people will be marking him and he might even have two on him at set pieces because he's that big. So I think he's going to be really important for us. Palmer speaks for himself. I don't need to say anything on him in terms of him. I think, obviously, Gallagher, we didn't have him last against United, and it told. Our midfield was lacking of that energy that he brings. So I think and a hope that he's learned from his mistake against against Brighton, and maybe he just hates Brighton as a player who played for Palace for a year. I don't know. Maybe we can forgive him for that. Yeah, I hope he's learnt from that. Comes in, brings the energy that we have given him so much credit for all season, and can kind of get that midfield clicking in, because they look like they're just starting to click. And they've had a couple of games where they've fallen off a bit. I thought Caicedo actually played quite well generally yesterday with the ball. Without it, he was, I don't know what he was doing. But anyway, and Enzo, I thought he had one of his worst games for us yesterday. So I'm hoping he can get it all, click it back together. So for me, those are our two key players. And the key battles, Broya against probably Tarkowski, or just generally their defence, and exactly the same the other way around, Calvert-Lewin against our defence. Calvert-Lewin is not an easy player to defend against, as he's proven. We don't like defending against him. He'll be confident. Goodison Park will be rocking. So let's hope we can have our own little Garnacho moment and shut him up.
Yeah, well, I'd say I think that's what we might be relying on, like with that form that you've stated previously. I do think that Broya has to start. I think when he came on against Manchester United, he proved his value.
And Man City, when he came on and won the penalty, he's a genuinely good number nine.
Yeah, yeah, and I he doesn't get enough credit. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see how that develops, especially in January, because we are going to be signing a centre forward. So I'm worried that he's going to be a casualty when he really shouldn't be. He really shouldn't be, but we'll have to see. But having said all of this, look, I can't believe I'm going to ask this. If we do lose, which isn't entirely implausible, given this form and our form at Goodison, do you think Pochettino might be under some genuine pressure, or will he remain to be under this fake pressure that he's under right now?
I guess it depends on the manner of the defeat. If it's another similar game to what we've had in the past 5-6 years, where they score and we just struggle against them because it's a hard place to go, then no. If we show a bit of fight, then yeah, okay, fine. It all depends on the board, to be honest, because if they are sticking with him regardless, I don't think it matters. I mean, if I were the board now, I'd be having words with him. Because of where we are, the money you've spent, the squad you've got. Obviously not saying, by the way, you're gone soon, but just saying, you know, we're a little bit concerned because this, it doesn't seem to be getting better. If anything, it's just so topsy-turvy. But no, I don't think he'll be under genuine pressure unless we get absolutely hammered. It's just, as you've said already, it's a run of games that we need to get right. And this is the hardest game of the lot, in my opinion, and it comes after such a poor defeat. Only a few days after it as well. So no, I don't think he'll be under genuine pressure from actual people who matter. He will be under genuine pressure from Twitter and from those sort of fans, unless we go and win. But that's the nature of modern day football, and specifically modern day Chelsea.
I agree. I've been asked to pose you a question though as well from Jordan. Jordan, okay. I can't believe he's just grinning. I'm not going to have to ask this. Do you reckon Chelsea could have maybe been in a better position if we'd stuck under Graham Potter?
Could Chelsea have been in a better position under Graham Potter?
George, do you want to unmute yourself and ask? Because I'm intrigued why you've asked, you've posed that.
Did you watch us under Graham Potter?
Well, unfortunately, I did watch us under Graham Potter too many times. I think these young lads would benefit from the presence of someone over a long period. And it's been, when did Potter leave?
So April.
Yeah. It's been a while. I think if let's say they stuck with him, I know they were under pressure from every single human that followed Chelsea Football Club to get rid of him. They defended him a lot of times. They said, we've got his back, all this. If they would have stuck with him, ignored everyone, at this point, do you think Chelsea would be in 11th? 10th, wherever we are in the league? Or do you think we'd be higher? I think we'd be higher.
I personally think that we'd be having a great away day against Rotherham in the Championship.
Yeah. the one thing you mentioned there, Jordan, is that it's the players that would have had him for longer. But it's not, because we brought in a whole new squad in the summer. So, no, we would not be in a better place with Graham Potter. But I like the question.
I thought it was an interesting question, hence why we posed it, which be, I think this might be one of our first clips. We'll have to look to work around that because that's going to go down well. But yeah, I mean, look, let's all be honest with each other here, boys. What do we have to do to get a win? What do we have to do?
Get physical, get up for it. We've got to get up for it. We've got to properly have a go at them. And they are going to kick us. We need to A, be prepared for that, and B, kick them back. But Conor Gallagher and Reece James, within reason, and if you're booked, don't go make a stupid tackle. Be less naive, which we've said so much in the past month. No idea if it's even possible. And take your chances. It sounds really simple and really stupid, but that is where we're at the moment. Get back to basics, and there's no reason we can't win this game.
Jordan?
I don't know. I don't think we can, honestly. I think short of Mudrick pulling out a piece of T-Rex arm's hair and arranging some sort of voodoo doll situation, in which case he turns into Rob Green and lets everything in, I can't see us winning against anyone. Like Tom said, even Sheffield United, I can't see it. And it's an odd position to be in.
It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. I can't believe we're having that conversation. Like it baffles me. Like how in such a short period of time the club has sunk to this. Like I appreciate there's like different projects and you know, I do get that. I do get that. But there's a project and seeing growth and there's being stagnant for a considerably long period of time. So we'll have to wait and see. I think that's all we can say. But we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you to the gentlemen who have been able to join us for this podcast. Obviously, Jordan chiming in at the end there with his thoughts after a very, very engaging and interesting question, which I'm sure a lot of people may have been listening to and screaming at us down the phone. I completely understand it, guys. Don't worry about it. Makes sense. But yeah, this has been a Highway 61 Network production. This has been the Chelsea Echo, your Chelsea podcast, with plenty more to come from us over the Christmas period and the new year. Make sure you engage with us on all of our social platforms. Follow us on the socials and tell your pals, your family, spread the word about the Chelsea Echo. A lot of people I've spoken to have said that they didn't realise we were doing it, which isn't great. And we should be more on that. And we will be more on that. Me and Tobes are all over it. Tom is actually going to start using his fucking Twitter because I've been telling him to do it for weeks, for months, and he hasn't done it. I've seen the odd retweet here and there. But Tom, people want to know what you think, okay? So we are going to make sure that you start talking more. Jordan's going to be on your case constantly, making sure you tweet about absolutely anything. And if you don't, I am going to hit you with a spanking paddle the next time I see you. I don't own one. I will buy one just for you.
Do you hear that? That's a threat. That's a threat. It's a threat.
It is a threat. I'll do it in front of people as well because I don't care about being embarrassed. It's not really my warehouse to be embarrassed. But anyway, guys, hope you enjoyed the pod and we will see you later. But actually, before we do go, before I forget, you'll have had your spoilers already this week. Go back and listen to the episode again if you want to. Skip to the middle, obviously, because you've already had your predictions for the previous game week. Yeah. We will see you for your Everton voice note review and then the review after the game. Anyway, guys, take care. We'll see you later.